This seminar by Mark Altrogi and Steve and Vicki Cook, titled Practicing and Planning Creativity, is made available to you through Sovereign Grace Ministries. It was recorded at our Worship God 2011 conference. Mark, Steve, and Vicki are the authors of many well-known worship songs.
Well, Vicki, how about if you can give a little intro while we're waiting for Steve?
Sure.
So,
are we on here? Great. As Mark said, I'm Vicki Cook. My husband and I, Steve, have been writing songs since our college days, which means a long time. and songwriting has just been one of those great blessings that we've had in our marriage because we've just got to work together. And usually our songwriting sessions are, just throwing out creative ideas, but it also is fellowship and talking about theological truths together, and it's been a great blessing for us.
And conflict?
Yeah, and there's conflict too, sure.
Occasionally, yeah?
Yeah, occasionally, sure. Because we'll each have different ideas and have to learn to defer to one another. But it's brought great good to our marriage as well. But anyway, this class hopefully is going to just give you some tools that's going to help you grasp all of those creative ideas that you have running around in your brains and put them down on paper so that you can write them into your songs. A lot of times when I think all of us are reviewing songs, everybody's got wonderful ideas and inspiration, but many times, I would say a majority of the time, beginning songwriters fall short in that they try to write a song and they don't have enough ideas. And they end up saying the same things over and over again, but it generally makes for a pretty boring song. So this class hopefully is going to give you some ways to get more ideas and better crafted ideas, that is just going to give you just a wealth of words and language to use in writing your songs to God. All right. How you doing, dear?
Doing technical things here.
Oh, okay.
So did you
excellent.
Already give away the books?
You did.
Yeah? So who got the books? Anybody on my birthday?
Yeah, well, not on. 12 and 14.
Okay. Well, happy birthday.
happy birthday. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. It's coming. You stop counting them at my age. So. All right, are we good? So now we just need to get them above.
Oh, we can move.
Your preference.
All right. Let's get our graphics here. There we go. So get them over here on this side. Maybe make them a little smaller. All right. We can work with that.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And is there anything else that needs to be said?
Yes.
At the beginning? Okay. All right. Well, great. It's great to have you all with us. Thanks for coming. Vicki may have already told you this, but what we're going to do is a little tag team. And Mark is the color commentator, so he's going to let us know when he's got things. He has a lot to share. It's kind of fitting in with what we're doing. And I'm going to sit down because I'm going to play some and make the screen a little more available. All right. So most of you should have an outline, right? It came with your notebooks. And
just make sure you have something to write with. I know some of you might just want to think, I'll just listen to, the tapes or the audio on the computer when it comes out. But this class, we're hoping to do a lot of practice stuff together. So just be ready. You're going to be writing.
Yeah, we got some exercises to do, et cetera. So let's talk a little bit about the first point, and this is a big picture thing. So a part of having the creative ideas to draw from when you want to be creative is to do some things that help fill your creative tanks, so to speak. And so part of that long-term strategy would be theology, reading good theology, feeding your soul with the truths of Scripture. Reading things that feed your language, vocabulary, and skills. So sometimes that may mean something modern. Sometimes it may mean reading, Spurgeon or Edwards or just somebody who's using language a little differently than you would be inclined to.
Well, what about, like, you know, even Shakespeare, great literature that is great for a reason. It's lasted, you know, centuries for a reason. We can learn, not that everything is going to apply to worship songs, but increasing your language skills and understanding of how words fit together and how, and just the power of words put together well. All that can help you in your songwriting. So poetry, even?
Yeah. And then the last category would be listening to music. And I would be a big proponent of listening to all kinds of music. What sounds fresh or current is a moving target in our culture. So being aware of what's going on now, but also drawing on ideas of the past, whether it's classical or maybe jazz or soundtracks or songs or artists that are just were 30 years ago rather than just things that were in the last 3 years or 5 years. You're going to tend to sound like what you listen to the most. And so I would encourage a wide variety and study those different things, what makes them work. We have another class actually tomorrow, and this is not necessarily a plug for the class, but in that class we'll be evaluating songs and teaching you how to evaluate what you listen to. Okay? So that's the big three creative tanks to feed: theology, use of language, music. Anything to add to that, Mark?
No.
Good with that? All right. Let's see here. Let me just bring to your attention to also point C, put aside time to practice. So think of time to practice songwriting, actually doing your songwriting. Think of time to evaluate other songs, because that's how you're going to learn and feed your creative tank in other ways, by knowing specifically the devices and maybe the movement of the melody and those types of things that the writers that you're listening to actually employed. Anything to add to that?
No, it's good.
Okay, all right.
Steve, did you say listening to songs and trying to see what makes them work?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Sometimes, like, I'll just say, like, if I listen to, say, a Coldplay song, and I'll just say, where does he start with the melody? Does he start high? Does he start low? What kind of repetitions does he do? Why is this song so good? And that would be, you know, that would be different than, like, there's new forms that are kind of emerging, like the Mumford and Sons, you know. Mm-hmm. So listen to them, and they repeat lines in a different way than, like, Chris Martin of Coldplay would. So yeah. I try to do what you're saying. I try to listen to songs and analyze them and just say, what's so good about this? Why is this so good?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, does it start low? Does what kind of rhythm do the words have? Do they sing right on the notes? The song by Freelance Wales. You heard the one that Starbucks used for the commercial?
No,
you guys,
heard.
Anybody know that song? It's right on the note. Right on the beat, yeah. And it starts something like, we get up early in the morning, da 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 da. There's no syncopation in that part of the song.
Yeah.
And I just think, okay, wow, I want to do a song like that. You know, what is it that makes this song so great? Because if Starbucks would do one of my songs, I'd be really rich then. And
good. All right. Thank you for that. Yeah.
I'm sure that added a lot there.
Well, no, it's really
good
helpful.
Good motivation for songwriting.
it's actually very helpful. And I know I was raised in a Christian by a Christian mom, and I never could listen to any kind of secular music at all growing up, which was very good for me. But as a songwriter, and if you're old enough, and I don't want you to defy your parents, anybody that's too young. Listening to all kinds of music, secular and Christian, listening to the best that's out there is really helpful. Now, there's a lot of stuff out there that's not helpful. But, you know, use your discernment there. But like Mark was saying, it's like there are things to learn. We can learn from the creativity of people who don't serve the Lord. But you know, where did they get that creativity from? They got it from our Father. And we can mimic and learn from that creativity and use it in our own songs to worship the Lord. So it's like, yeah, let's learn from everybody. Let's open up the doors of our creativity and just see what is out there. See what God has done in all of life around us, and just be open to old stuff, new stuff, just to grow from. It's really, really helpful. All that creativity was meant to serve God. And if it doesn't, let's just take it and use it to serve God. Okay?
Let's look at B on your outline there, number two. Number two. Outline your song. This is one way we found, one way, there are a number of ways, but one way we found helpful to write a song is to have a clear vision of the theme or the title, and often the title, coming up with a good title is a great way to get a start on a song, and then actually outlining what you're going to say in the verses ahead of time. What we found is when we were younger writers was often we would have ideas for a verse and then a chorus, but then it's like, well, what happens with verse two? And we could spend weeks trying to figure out what to say, because sometimes you've said everything in verse one unnecessarily. So a couple of examples of songs and how they were outlined. One was written by Mark, which you guys probably know. You know, I stand in awe of you. Heard that one before? Da, 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 da. Okay, so these are the lyrics to that. Notice Mark has a title that at the bottom is very clear in the chorus. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praises due. I stand in awe of you. Now, where the brilliance came was the way he wrote the verses, because they both have different themes, but they feed into this chorus and this response. So in the first one, we're looking at the beauty of God. And on the second one, if I can get this high enough, let's see here. Maybe I'll make him smaller. No, I know what to do. I grab this corner.
Yay.
There you go. And then verse 2 is on the cross, the gospel of God crushing his son. And now the response is a little different, but it's the same words, and it's the same awe of God. So it's very clear what Mark is doing in each of those verses that's leading you to the chorus. And so the chorus, in a sense, takes on a different meaning depending on what you've just meditated on. I have another song I wanted to look at. How many of you guys have heard the new song by Laura Story called Blessings? Anybody heard that? I could probably play just a smackerel of it to jar your memories if you haven't heard it. And she did something different. Here, I'll bring it near my mic and see if we can hear it. Can you hear that at all?
We pray for blessings.
Ring a bell.
We pray for peace.
Can we go to the chorus?
Comfort yes. For family. Protection while we wait too much. Way too much to give us lesser things. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Okay, ring a bell for some of you. All right, let's take a look at her lyrics for a second and see what she did. This is a different kind of song. It is not probably considered a worship song, although it is very worshipful.
Not congregationally.
Yeah, it's not congregational, but it's very worshipful.
Yes, it is.
And it's very theological. I don't know Laura, so I don't know exactly how she composed this song, but as I look through the lyrics, I actually think the key message in the song comes here near the end, and she gets us there, and I'll show you how she gets us there. In the middle is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy. In other words, she's using a lot of questions that imply the affirmative. But the affirmative here is, are trials a way of revealing the greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And let's look at how she gets there. So in verse 1, she talks about things that we would all ask for. They're good things. They're things that have kind of a medium intensity to them. As you read the lyric, we pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, etc. And then she goes into the chorus. What if your blessings come through raindrops, healing through tears, 1,000 sleepless nights is what it takes to know you're near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? But notice in verse 2, the emotion gets ratcheted up considerably. We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. So all of a sudden, the emotional level in verse 2 is like here. It's ratcheted up. You feel it more deeply. And then you come back to the chorus again. And she's singing the same thing, but it feels stronger because what you've just meditated on is more emotional. And then she takes us to a bridge that gives us a little more information about where she's heading. When friends betray us, darkness seems to win. We know all the pain reminds us heart that this is not our home. All right, that's a hint of what's to come. And then finally she ends with a chorus and then a new half chorus. She has new words here for this section that says, is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy. So what this is an example of, rather than the song, all the verses pointing to the chorus, kind of like a spoke in the middle of the wheel, she's taking us on a journey that kind of is leading us to a conclusion. And it's really a powerful song, I think, because of that. So that's two different approaches on this outlining your song. I wouldn't be surprised if she ended up somewhere near the end and then wrote backwards to get there. I think that wouldn't be uncommon with a story song.
Also, just one thing to point out. A lot of people will try to put bridges into their songs just because they feel like, oh, the song just needs a little something different. But they end up saying the same things over again that they just sang in their chorus or in one of their verses. A bridge, like demonstrated in this song, is to bring something fresh and new, a twist on what you've already been singing about. And she does it so well in this song. It's really well crafted. The bridge, for the first time, you see, okay, yeah, we're in suffering, but God is with us. And guess what? This world is not our home. It's not always going to be like this. And it's like, so it gives a rise to the truth you've already been exposed to in the choruses and the verses. But it takes us to a new place. And that's what a bridge needs to do. It takes us to a little bit a newer place, just a little bit twist to what you've been saying other places, but it's got something fresh in it. So if you don't have that something fresh, don't add the bridge at all. Just leave the bridge off. That's just kind of one of those little mistakes newer writers tend to make.
Let's move on to section 3, but I just wanted to add, in regards to Laura's song, just a device that's worth pointing out. She uses questions, and they have implied answers, but it feels a little less preachy the way she does it. And sometimes questions can help us do that in a song. It can lead the listener to a conclusion without just saying it the obvious. So she does a great job of that.
Yep.
Next section?
Okay, next section. Just making sure you have enough ideas. This is our object writing section. How many of you have ever practiced object writing? Anybody?
Vicky, what is object writing?
Okay. Object writing, some people just call it brainstorming, but you pick a topic, and you pretty much just don't give your brain any bounds, and you just start writing about it. Give yourself a time limit. I've done this before at home. I've come up with some interesting ideas, things that I didn't think were in my brain. but it's actually an interesting way to kind of prime the pump of your brain just to get it thinking creatively. And you can do object writing with silly things as well as very serious things when we're talking about God. But just to kind of get you started, all right, make sure you have a place to write. We're going to do this for, 2 minutes or something like that. Is
sure.
that okay? And you don't have to write in complete sentences, so you're free to if you would like to. But you can just write phrases all over the place if you want to, but stay within your topic. And your topic is watermelon. That's it. Start writing.
Vicki, I don't think there are any worship songs about watermelons.
I think there should be.
There will
be a break. This could be a major breakthrough in worship songwriting.
Just think of the metaphor, seeds and the water coming from within. Yeah.
You're helping them, Steve.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Let's see what watermelon fruit is bearing.
You don't want one more minute? It's only been a minute.
They look so creative. I just don't know.
Okay. Well, okay. I lied. Not 2 minutes. It's only been a little over one. But we're going to... Does anybody just tell me some of the things you were writing about watermelon?
It rots if it's not used for its intended
purpose. That sounds very scientific. Yes. It's true. Yes.
Tasting sweet, a delicious treat, big fresh watermelon.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah,
anybody over here?
The seeds you'll spit or choke on.
Yes.
You don't really know what's inside. You don't know if it's good or...
That's true.
We spit our seeds all over the ground. Some are lost and some are found.
Ooh, hey, that's nice. Yeah.
My sticky fingers get me in trouble once again. It reminds me of the time when I was 10.
Oh, that's nice.
Cool.
That's very nice. Yeah.
Pardon me, call me outside.
Ooh, yeah, that's good too. Okay, you see, you just start coming up with ideas. Now, you only had about a minute just to start writing those things out. But you get the idea. All right, it's just getting words flowing out of your pen, out of your brain. Now, we're going to change things up a little bit. We're all going to do a little bit more object writing, this time on Scripture. Okay, the end of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Just object right on that portion of Scripture.
Just let your brain float on those words and just...
Don't try to craft anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Just let it flow out rather than thinking about it too much.
Yeah, exactly.
In other words, you don't necessarily want them to try to write rhymes out and sentences
no.
like in a song.
Just
anything, any ideas associated with your goodness and mercy, follow me all the days of my life.
That's right. Association exercise, a lot of people, that's what they call that, call the object writing.
You could write related scriptures, right? Any other scriptures that come to your mind,
to mind that absolutely.
Have a similar feel to these?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, only because we only have a limited time. We're just going to move on. But you can do object writing 5-10 minutes at a time. It's just some songwriters do this as an exercise every day before they start writing. Again, it's brainstorming. It's not about form. It's not about crafting anything. It's just about getting ideas out. And it can be very, very helpful. Now, we were just writing on that scripture, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Anybody, ideas, phrases that popped out of that? Yeah.
Many things that bother you, like a dog, or a shadow, like a cloud.
Oh, you're thinking really creative. Yeah, things that follow you, a dog, a shadow, a cloud, what else?
A guardian.
Ooh, I like that. There's some really good stuff in there. Yeah.
When everything else fails, why is it that those continue to follow you all the way?
Mm, when everything else fails, why is it that goodness and mercy follow us? I like that too. Yeah.
I was thinking about when you have goodness without mercy or mercy without goodness.
Goodness without mercy or mercy without goodness. But it's both that follow us. It's not just one or the other. Yeah.
Goodness and mercy is inescapable. It follows you to the end.
That's right. It's inescapable. I like that word, inescapable. Yeah.
That it follows us. A lot of times we don't see it from the beginning. It's not to say that it doesn't walk with us or precede us, but you'll not see it.
You're right. Yeah. Goodness and mercy are following us. We're not perceiving it always. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Not only will it follow us right through life, but one day we will be there and we'll be there.
Amen. Look into the end when we're going to be with the Lord. Yes. Amen. Back here.
I was just thinking on that first word and thought about that sure as the sun comes up in the morning, as sure as the moon glows in the night sky. That whole concept of sure.
Being sure, a sure thing. Yeah.
Goodness and mercy, kind of making metaphors.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. Yeah, that surely. So as sure as the sun comes up, as sure as the moon will follow. Okay, awesome. There's some great ideas in there. All right. So a lot of times this is the way to start writing a song. You think of a concept, think of a scripture like we just did. All right. And now we're going into this next section of building a song worksheet. This is so, so helpful because when you finish your worksheet, you have a whole page or two sometimes of ideas, fresh ideas that you can use in your songwriting. Let's just go through the points really quick, and then we're going to do this together as a class. So we've already started with the object writing, all right, coming up with that song nugget that we're thinking about. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. All right, then point number two, choose 10 of your best words from your object writing. I liked that inescapable word. I'm sure there's many other words. We're going to come up with some more. I'm going to drag those out of you in a minute. We're going to come up with at least 10 words, just good words that apply to our concept. All right? And then you drag out your thesaurus. And with your thesaurus, I'm having a little trouble with my tongue today. You're going to find 10 words for every one of your words, your original words. Okay? Now, sometimes you can't find 10. Sometimes there's just not enough. But, I mean, when I say 10 words, you're going to find 10 new words that mean the same thing as your original word, but that also could fit in a worship song if that's what you're writing. So, you know, that limits the parameters around what kind of words we can use. But you come up with some really great words using a thesaurus. And then after you've done that, then you're going to take all of those words and you're going to find rhyme words for all of those words that you've just found. So getting out the rhyming dictionary, these two things are invaluable sources for your songwriting. If you do not have a rhyming dictionary, a good rhyming dictionary, and a thesaurus, go out and invest in one. This will help in your writing. Again, you're looking for words that would most likely be used in a worship song. There's just a lot of words that you're not going to use.
Well, I probably won't use curse words.
Right? Probably not.
So I clarify that.
Thanks, Mark. It's so helpful. all right, but by the time you've done this, you've got a ton of words to work with. Some rhyming dictionaries will actually even supply you with small phrases that are common to language, stuff like that, which sometimes can be helpful for worship songs, sometimes not. But, you know, you have to use your discernment. But that's the great thing about being a songwriter. It really is kind of about the way you see the world and the way you're seeing truth and the fresh perspective you can bring to that concept. We don't just hammer out the same old things in the same old way that everybody else does. That's why we need lots of songs and lots of songwriters. And you might be saying, man, this would just take way too much time. And it does. It takes some time to get these things down. But you know what? If you start here with a well that's full of wonderful words and language to use to describe your topic, the song will almost write itself. just because you've got it all right in front of you. It's all there. You've done the work, and now it's time to craft, put it together. So let's just try to do this just a little bit as a class. Instead of getting 10 words, let's just get 5.
Let's do 5.
Yeah, let's just get 5.
Do we want it to be on the title of Your Goodness and Mercy Follow?
Yeah, Your Goodness and Mercy Will
All
Follow
right,
Me.
I'll put that up.
Okay. Oh, excellent. You're so good. Oh, dear. That's perfect. Okay.
Okay.
So, all right. Oh, Will Follow Me. Okay, we can use follow. What was that word I loved before?
Inescapable.
Inescapable. I love
okay.
that. Inescapable me.
How we doing?
Oh, it's like despicable me.
We'll fix it. Just work on harvesting the words.
Sorry,
I'll figure
sorry.
This out.
I'm captivated, dear.
Well, let's do it.
All right. Inescapable. But follow, definitely. Follow can go on there. What's another great word that would relate to this topic?
Well, I see the idea of like surely and persistent.
Persistent. All right, persistent. Let's get that one up there.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah, relentless.
Somewhere
That's
else.
That's a good one, too.
Undeserved,
absolutely. Uh-huh. That could definitely follow here. We don't deserve
okay.
the goodness and the mercy that is following us. It is a gift of our Lord. Yes.
Pursuit.
Ooh, I like that, too. All right, can we have one more word?
Faithful.
Faithful. Give me a couple others. Things that... a little more.
Revision.
Restoration. What was that over here?
Provision.
Did
you do
that? What did... Relentless.
Would okay, that be that's like persistent?
Like, that's like persistent.
Certainty.
All
right, we have enough of persistent. Okay, undeserved is a little different. Pursuit. Inescapable. Those are a little bit related. One more that's not related to these words. Okay. I'm on brain overload. Oh. Okay, wait a minute. One at a time.
Tender.
Tender. Ooh.
Trail or a doubt.
What was that?
Awake or a trail.
Oh, awake or a trail. Very interesting. That's very picturesque.
Okay, trail
awake
it is.
Or a trail.
Awake.
All right, you know,
or a trail?
Like,
okay.
like awake, you know, like in a in
okay.
water.
All right, so now we're going.
Okay, and you know what? There's no right or wrong in these things. This is really, you know, up to what inspires you as a writer, but we're just doing this for now. All right, so we have our words. So for every original word that you have here on your list, you look up in your thesaurus fresh words that mean the same thing. So, dear, do you have a thesaurus on there?
Da, 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 da.
Oh, you're so good. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, let's see if I can
okay,
get
where
it
are you? Okay, you got inescapable. Okay. All right. Okay, doomed. What in the world? Okay.
Better?
Yeah, ignore all that stuff.
There you
Thank
go.
Thank you, dear.
We have to...
Okay, for inescapable. Look, we've got certain, we've got doomed. I don't think doomed would work very good in a worship song.
Okay.
Imminent. I don't even know how to say that word. Ineluctable?
Ineluctable, huh?
Ineluctable?
So, how many from that section do you want to take? Certain?
I like certain.
Do you like imminent?
I don't... It's like, man, we need another thesaurus.
we got some other sections here.
Does anybody else have a thesaurus that's working? Yeah.
So you can take the same word,
Mac. Yeah, it's a Mac.
Or you can search escape.
You can go to Finder and look for thesaurus.
Yeah. On your Mac, they say you have it under your phone. You can find it under your Finder.
So where's the
word?
Word?
Anybody just off the cuff? When we think about the word inescapable, what do you think of synonyms?
Unavoidable.
That'd be a little hard to use in a song. Unavoidable.
Captive.
Captive. Ooh, okay. Captive. But
All
it's
right.
a Sort of, yeah.
Three more.
What's that?
Relentless.
Inescapable. Relentless, could it's tied to it.
Just reveal.
Sorry.
Any other sort?
Destined.
What was that?
Destined.
Oh, destined. Okay. All right. And at least one more.
Bound?
Inescapable bound.
Okay, sure.
Okay, sure, why not? All right, now let's go to persistent.
I'm afraid to look that one up. Let's see what we got.
All right. Just make the screen really small around it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, persistent.
Okay, persistent. There's a lot more words here. Okay, now we've got bound already. Determined. Okay, determined. That's a good one. Endless, enduring, firm, fixed, incessant.
Steadfast.
That's a great word.
Unflagging.
Ooh.
Stubborn.
Okay, there's a lot of great words in there. Are you writing these down anywhere, dear?
I got determined, endless, enduring, steadfast. What else? One more.
One more? Resolute.
Okay.
It's a good word. I'm not sure how it would work in a song, but you never know. There are certain words that sing well and others don't, but you never know.
Why don't we move to the rhyming section? At least we got a feel for
it. All right.
Got
a feel for how you do that and how you come up with some more words. All right. Then we go to a rhyming dictionary. All right, we've already got at least these. Well, we've only done two words, but obviously now you have a lot of words that you can start looking at your rhyming dictionary. Inescapable, you're going to actually find a lot of able words that are going to rhyme with it. Maybe we should do certain. Certain, curtain, what's an M. Burton? Yeah.
Do you recommend a good rhyming dictionary?
I forget which rhyming dictionary Master Writer uses. Do you know?
Well, if the software Master Writer, which has everything together in one package along with common phrases, false rhymes, even the ability to record, if you go to masterwriter.com, I think it's $200. I think they have an education discount. There's tons of rhyming dictionaries that you can buy. And online, you can go to Rhyming Zone or Rhyme Zone like I did, and I'm sure
there's
many others. A lot of it's just taking the time to go through and pick
ones that work. Do you have a
favorite,
Mark, for rhyming?
I usually use these ones that are online now. I have a couple paperbacks. I don't know if – I can't remember what they are, though, but I have a couple different rhyming dictionaries in book form, but
yeah.
I usually use the online ones.
Yeah, we do, too. All right.
Any of these that you think could fit this song's theme?
Curtain. I mean, maybe curtain.
I think
the curtain is torn, curtain veil.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Curtain of doubt, I can't see your business or something.
But there's not a whole lot for curtain.
Okay.
And you're just going to find that in a lot of words. There's just a lot of words that just don't have a whole lot of rhyme. So let's go on.
Here
go
it's
to the next word.
Oh, words ending with A-I-N. Any of these short vowel sounds?
Yeah, you can get kind of near rhymes. If
you're looking for allegory, which is some of what you're going to in the next...
In a minute, yeah.
Ren. Certain, ren. You can use animals. A lot of times I'll just go through the alphabet, take that sound, and put one or two letter combinations from the beginning until I hit something that brings it together in a different order.
Yeah, they don't have to be perfect rhymes. They can be near rhymes, false rhymes. You can come up with a lot. And a lot of these online dictionaries will do that for you. They'll give you the perfect rhyme first, but you can get near rhymes and false rhymes and all kinds of everything in between. So there's kind of endless varieties out there. Are you looking up another word there?
Oh, I just put in EM to see what we'd come up with. Certain. Phlegm, Mark said. Yeah, brain stem.
Let's go to a different word.
Okay. What do you want to go to next? Captive?
Captive. Captive's good.
Adaptive. I guess because it's three syllable.
Captive. It's only two syllable. Two.
A captive. It just gives us a three syllable.
It just
option,
gives
sorry.
Us one three syllable one. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only perfect rhyme.
Yeah, but maybe if we chop it off and just do tiv or iv or like live.
Okay. See how you do that? A lot of times that's true. Go to a one syllable word, you get a lot more rhyming words.
Yeah, it's going.
Okay,
to the
now
live.
It's going to ive rather than iv. It's going to the long I sound.
Give.
Yeah, do give. Okay, sieve.
Misgive, outlive.
Forgive.
Relive.
Outlive, relive. Forgive is definitely a great word.
Okay.
But you see, this is how we do it. This is the process. It's hit or miss sometimes on some of these words. You have to, you can kind of finagle, you can figure out your near rhymes and perfect rhymes and chimes and everything else. But with a little bit of practice, you get really fast at this. It's still somewhat time-consuming, but again, you're filling up your well. You're coming up with a lot of great ideas. It's so much easier to cross out ideas and say, I'm not going to use that in this song, maybe for another song. But it's a whole lot harder to start at a deficit, not having enough ideas and not knowing where to go. Your song is going to suffer because of it. So instead of doing that, just fill up your well first. Fill up all of your words, all of your language, and come up with way more than you'll ever use. Keep a songwriting notebook. Nothing is ever thrown away. We never throw away any lyric ideas, any word ideas, rhyme schemes, all kinds of different stuff like that. All of it is kept and used for a later song. If it doesn't work in this song, maybe it'll work in the next one. So your work is not in vain. It really does pay off, and you will see a big quality jump in your writing if you just start with more ideas on the plate.
Hey, Vicki and Steve, could I go back to a couple earlier things you mentioned?
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
That I just would have loved to hear you maybe talk a little bit more on the outline your song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even before that, one thing, Steve, that you did once I saw you doing, we were on a plane together, and I walked by you and you were doing this, and I've done that since, and I found it really helpful, is Steve was writing on a whole page in his songwriting journal, nothing but song titles. And I have read in songwriting books, some people say that if you can find a great title, that will go a long way to helping you write your song, because it'll give you a lot of, you know, the basic idea of what the song's about. Like Steve says, Steve and Vicki say, state what your chorus is about in one sentence. Well, I would say another thing is, if you can say what your song is about in one sentence. So if you were taking what you were doing, Vicki, your goodness and kindness will follow me, you might say, well, I want to write a song about God's goodness following me no matter what trials I go through in life, or no matter what, I, you know, be able to say it in one sentence. But then to put that, you know, to take that brainstorming exercise you're talking about, only do that with titles. Okay. So you might have a whole page, your goodness and kindness. You follow me forever. Follow me down the path. You know, I've done that a few times with songs, just to try to get a title. Like with the song Greater Than We Can Imagine,
mm-hmm.
I started
great,
off
great song.
With writing Great is the Lord. I thought, well, Delirious already did that. You know, How Great You Are. No, that's already How Great Thou Art. You know, just starting to write as many titles as I could, and You're greater than anything I know, greater than, and then eventually I wrote down Greater Than We Can Imagine, and then I had a whole page and I could see, well, that's a much stronger title than anything else I had. And so then lots of times songwriters also say, put your title in the chorus. Doesn't have to be, but like in I Stand in Awe,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I had my title, so then I had my first line of the chorus. And I was actually working, I think, from Psalm 96 or something like that. I was working from the psalm that says, "Great is the Lord." So I had that idea for the chorus, and then I could begin to do what you were doing with brainstorming with other things in the psalm, saying, okay, what about, what will we do, and what, you know, how, and everything has to tie in to the chorus as well.
Right.
I don't know if you were going to say all these things, but...
No, that's really helpful, that's Mark.
So, in terms of outlining the song, I think just a couple of other ideas, and this is sort of along the brainstorming ideas, like if you were going to have, you could take, say if you're going to have three verses, you can think in terms of past, present, future. Lots of songs do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were sinners in the past. Your goodness followed me even when I was a sinner in the past. I didn't even know it, but your goodness was following me. Your goodness follows me nowadays, and your goodness, like somebody said, will follow me even till we're in heaven. So you can be kind of thinking big idea as you're brainstorming too, like past, present, future, good times, bad times, you know, contrasts. Mm-hmm. When I'm young, when I'm old. So if you have...
You even, we were talking earlier today, I think you mentioned question and answer.
Mentioned that starting with a question. There's a lot of songs that start with questions.
Sure.
Question and answer. I'm trying to think of some other big ideas. But the flow of the song, you can be thinking, okay, where am I going with this song? What am I trying to say here? So you could start with, okay, God, Jesus, before he was became a man, eternity past, Jesus becomes a man, now Jesus reigning on his throne. And so you can kind of get big ideas for your verses or your song and when you're outlining the song so that you know that the song is going somewhere.
Yeah. So everybody get that? Is that clear that, you know, our verses should all be just a little different? It's like we've got this great big diamond, and verse one is about one little facet of that diamond, but it's still about the diamond. Okay, verse two is another facet, a different facet of the diamond, but it's still about the diamond. A lot of times beginning songwriters make the mistake of just saying the same things over again in the verse two that they just did in verse one. The song needs to go somewhere, like Mark was saying. There needs to be a progression of thought. That is just helpful to think about these things even before we start writing. It makes it clear. I mean, songs can be clear to us because we're the writer and we've worked with them and they're our babies. But then you show them to someone else and they go, I don't get it. And it's so clear to you. Well, make sure you outline your song. It'll be clear to everybody when you outline it.
All right, let's talk about metaphors for a few minutes. There are some songs that are just so amazing that every lyric is just like breathtaking. But most great songs have a few great lines in them that propel the song. And one way to come up with some great ideas and lines is with metaphors, presenting things in a way that people haven't seen it exactly that way before. And it captures the imagination. It makes the truth come alive more. So in this next section, we're talking a little bit about metaphors, bringing ideas together that maybe people haven't heard before. Three types of metaphors. Let's look at number one. It's called expressed identity, but basically it's between two nouns. So we see in our example here we're using the words hope and light. So X is Y, hope is light. The Y of X, another way of expressing it, the light of hope. And then X is Y, possessive, so hope's light. All right? So you can often come up with ideas and just try different combinations of these different expressions of the metaphor and come up with something fresh. So two nouns. Give me two easy nouns, nothing too complicated. How about this side? One. Ocean. Watermelon. Okay, so...
We're still on watermelon.
The ocean is watermelon. What image does that bring about? The ocean is like a water... I guess they're both large or something. Moisture contained. Yeah, ocean is watermelon. And then we flip it. So the watermelon of ocean. I don't know what that might mean, but it's definitely a creative idea. And then the other way we could go is ocean's watermelon. So maybe there's some kind of something floating around in the ocean growing that we've never seen before that's like watermelon shaped, and it's, you know, ocean's watermelon.
Well, and that was a little more silly, but if you take something like two nouns that might, again, words we might use in a worship song, grace and treasure, okay, they're very simple words, but if you use this exercise, grace is treasure, or the treasure of grace, or grace's treasure. It puts a different light on the words. They're two very simple words, but when you put them together that way, it's like, you can just, it's just a little different, and it makes you see things differently. Sometimes it can actually be a jumping point to get somewhere else. But metaphors can be really helpful that way.
A metaphor, just to define it a little more, metaphors and similes are similar, right? Very similar.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A simile would be saying something is like this, but a metaphor would be saying this is this.
Yeah.
So you might say the moon was a beacon at night.
Yeah.
Something like that. That would be a metaphor.
Yeah.
But if you said the moon was like a beacon to my life or whatever, that would be a simile.
Simile, yeah.
But those finding those kinds of things can really make a song come alive.
They can.
Do we have only to 1:45, don't we?
We do. We have to go.
Is that
quick.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay,
we have to go
so
quick.
We're going to go on the fast track here, and I'll fast track things, a couple things here. Let's talk a little bit about metaphors. Here's another exercise you can do. You can have a type or a part of speech of language in one column, another, and another. Here we have adjectives and nouns.
It's kind of like apples to apples if you've ever played that game.
And this is a way to come up with some new way of looking at things. So, blue fields. Kind of interesting. Blue children. I mean, I guess they're sad, huh? A blue tree. A blue marshmallow. Blue harmony. You just see it brings different colors. Crazy fields, crazy children, crazy trees, crazy marshmallows, crazy harmony. Shiny fields, shiny children, shiny trees, shiny marshmallows, shiny harmony. Great fields, great children, great trees, great marshmallows, great harmonies. And then beautiful fields, beautiful children, beautiful trees. So you can just, this exercise can give you some combinations you never would have come up with on your own. You could make that column 10 words on each side and then just consider the possibilities. You might find titles that way because you're bringing together words in a unique way that may give it a twist that says something new. All right? We probably should move on. Just one final word on the verbal metaphors. Talks about a conflict between the verb and its subject. These are very cool. Clouds, sailing. So we don't think of clouds necessarily as sailing, ship sail, but it's brought together. Frost gobbles down summer. You know, we know that the seasons are turning, but we're saying it in a fresh way. If someone is having a bad night and they go outside and they say the moon is frowning down on me, it means, you know, nobody approves of what I'm doing, or maybe I'm sad. Or the shadows chased away the sun is a creative way of saying the sunset. Okay.
Steve, I think this is just really good what you're saying. I think that so many times we settle, myself included, at times for just the first thing we write, and we write things just sort of blandly. And, you know, we see this a lot in songwriting, where songwriters will just say something that we've heard, you know, you saved my soul and made me whole. I mean, most people wouldn't say that nowadays. But we say just typical things really quickly. And what I think you're encouraging, which is really good, is find a more creative way to say whatever you're saying. That's where brainstorming can come in, like after you've already started your song. Lots of times after I've written a song, I'll just look at it and I'll say, is there a more creative way to say this rather than you died on the cross for my sins?
Yeah.
Is there a more creative way to say it?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so good about what you're saying here, Steve.
Yeah, you got to ask yourself when you're looking at your song lyrics, okay, is it true, first of all? And most of the time with the songwriters' songs that we see, yeah, it's true. It's Jesus saved me. He died on the cross. And they just kind of reiterate in the same way that every other songwriter has written the same old truths. Our challenge as a songwriter is to say it in a different way. My favorite lyricist songwriter out there is Stuart Townend, because he says things in a far different way. I mean, how deep the Father's love. The end of even verse one, and he's talking about the Father, Jesus on the cross, which, you know, we can say in these little simple terms, but he put it, how great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Those words kill me every time. That is said. Those words are powerful. He creates pictures in your mind of what is going on and makes the truth come alive. That's what we want to do. Let's just not say the same old, same old. Your first time you sit down and write a song, the first thing you write, like Mark said, is not usually going to be the best thing for the song. You've got a concept there, but you need to work at it to make it come alive for people.
We don't have time to fully do everything that I would have liked to have done. I want to leave a few minutes for questions, but let me touch on this Variations on Melody. The purpose of this whole section here, under B, where it says, making your melodies more interesting, the point of these nine possibilities are to help you break out of like a rut you're in. So you're working on a song, maybe you have a phrase, a lyric you're committed to or you think is great, but gee, my music isn't very good. So how can I, in part, just use different ideas or approaches to come up with different ideas on the melody? So let me do two things. I want to do a few of these for you so you can hear it. But I also, if you want a PDF of all the ideas notated like this, and they're all labeled, so on the top I tell you this is what it is, send me an email at scook@sobgracemen.org, and I'll send you this page. But for instance, I just picked something simple. There's nothing brilliant about it. It's intentionally boring in a way, but you can at least see how you can do variations. So let's suppose this is my original, and I'm doing number one, repeat same rhythm with different pitches. So we're going, praise the Lord for his mercy, lasts forever, okay? So we're using the same rhythm every time in the phrasing. And this time, I'm going to look for different words to hold out longer in the phrase, exact same words though. So I go, praise the Lord for his mercy, lasts forever, okay? Third one, I'm going to emphasize or put longer tones on mercy, but otherwise it's very similar. Praise the Lord for his mercy, lasts forever, and now I'm going to try emphasizing ever. That's going to be my longest tones. Praise the Lord for his mercy, lasts forever. I decided to go down, make it a little different. Try repeating an important word. Praise the Lord, for his mercy, lasts forever. And the last one, let's see here. Multiple notes on a word. So, praise the Lord for his mercy, lasts forever. All right, so on mercy, I went, mercy. Okay? So those are the first four ideas on this page. Again, I'm happy to give you the whole thing if you'll shoot me a quick email.
So this is just ways to get out of the rut. When you've got a melody and you're going, it's boring, or people have said, eh, it's okay, and you just need to change things up, this can be a great exercise to, again, it's almost like object writing, except now you're using notes for a melody, which is really helpful.
You can add
Mark,
something
more?
Let me mention another thing that we often find helpful in evaluating our own melodies, even after we've had words put to them. And that is to sing the song with nonsensical syllables and just listen to the melody. So, like with Tim Hughes' Here I Am to Worship, you know, da 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 da. Okay? I mean, if it could have originally been written to where it was something like da 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 dum da 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 da. So sometimes we write songs that are that busy, but we don't realize it until we actually just kind of listen to the melody. What is it doing? How is it moving? Where's the spaces and the phrasing? And is it nice?
Yeah, like how does that melody make you feel emotionally? Our songs are not just about truth. They are truth. But we need a vehicle to carry that truth. And that's what our music is. It's the vehicle to carry that truth. And we need to marry the truth to the music. Actually marry the music to the truth. We want it to say the same thing. We want it to feel the same way. You were just talking about Tim Hughes. Didn't he write Happy Day?
Yes.
Happy Day, Happy Day. You know, it's just like the music sounds happy, doesn't it? Even if it da 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 da, it just sounds fun and happy. And it totally is the great vehicle for these lyrics of, oh, happy day, you know, I'm forgiven, you wash my sin away, I'll never be the same. There's a great marriage that went on there, but there is an emotion to music, not just to your lyric. Make sure they match.
We've got 3 or 4 minutes here. Why don't we take some questions?
Yeah.
And we're happy to talk at the any time during the conference on some of these things we didn't get to. But any specific questions here? One here, and we'll come here in the back next. Yes.
Sorry, this is a dumb question, but how do you most quickly notate it? Because I don't know any computer programs, so I have to do it by hand.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, what do you do that's an easy way to notate it?
Well, I used Sibelius for this.
What's it called?
Sibelius. Sibelius. So Sibelius.com. It's not super cheap. There's probably cheaper notation things out there. Anyone else know of something super
cakewalk.
Cheap? Cakewalk. Cakewalk. Is it super cheap?
Like 20, 30 bucks online.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Finale has it cheap.
Right, Finale, yeah.
Okay, all right. Good. Okay, question
Sibelius
back here.
Sibelius is an industry standard, though.
Yes.
So.
You guys, this is a question for all three of you. Do you have a practical example? You said that you hang on to your past work. Do you have an example where you archive something and then you pull it out and actually use it and hang something?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me repeat that for the recording. So the question is, an example of something, a lyric that we've written that we actually archived and came back and found it useful. And your answer is?
Yeah, we do it all the time. Like I said, I think all of us keep songwriting notebooks, journals, and we write everything in there. anything, any song inspiration. I try to have my songwriting notebook even with me during my quiet time. If I'm inspired by the word and there's just a certain scripture that pops out to me and I'm going, oh, I wish I could sing that, I'll jot that in my songwriting book, or quotes from Spurgeon or Piper or whoever I'm reading at the time. So I always have those archived, but also, Steve and I will record just melodic ideas. Steve's really good about this. He'll just sit down at the piano and start playing a chord progression, sometimes just da-da-ing a melody. And, you know, we just have it on our computer and just keep it on our iPod. And we go back and revisit those and go, you know, I forgot about that melody. Let's try to work on that. Let's see if we can make something of it. So that happens all the time. I just think, you know, nothing's lost that way. And even though you might not use it exactly the way you wrote it before, you use a variation of it that's even better. And so I think it's helpful. It's been helpful for our writing to do that.
Let's stay for another 10 minutes for questions. But if you need to go ahead. And I think we'll still have time to make our 2:15.
Is it 2:15? Okay.
1:45 is when the class is released.
I've got a couple more minutes still there.
Okay. Yeah, we'll keep answering questions for a bit here. Yes?
This notebook that you use to write with, you said you write a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you compile the stuff, there's such a system that you use where you know where to go back to retrieve the information that you're thinking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What system do you use to file?
Okay. What system do we use to file all our ideas?
I'm pretty random. I mean, I just sometimes I know I have an idea somewhere in one of two places, and I just kind of leaf through.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as organized as I would like to be, but one thing that I found that's helped me, I've got it's a huge ringed kind of notebook thing that I'm using for my songwriting journal. And what I do, have you ever seen those, you know, they're not like the sticky sheet things, but they look like just colored tape that is just a little bit sticky on one end. Well, I'll use those in my songwriting notebook to set aside a couple of sheets for just phrases or titles, and I have those kind of like sticking out all over my songbook, but it kind of gives me tabs to go back to, okay, what were helpful phrases on the cross, and I can go back to it, or what are some of the titles that I was running through the other day, and I can go back to it. So those little tape things have really helped me organize my thoughts and find them quicker. I'm sure there's a much better way. Are you more organized than that, Mark?
Nope.
No.
I just have just tons of notebooks in my little studio.
You could put everything on your computer and do word searches, but I find the idea of writing, or I find the exercise of writing, helps me be more creative.
Me too.
I think it accesses the right brain a little better.
Me too.
Right here.
Do you have any particular different strategies for rewriting old lyrics, or do you guys do that much?
Strategies for rewriting old lyrics. We got a class on that coming up, right? The rewriting?
Yeah, the next seminar is on rewriting, that kind of stuff. I don't know that I have any particular strategy except to just rewrite it. Just keep looking back and try it again. Are you in the next seminar by any chance? Okay. You know, sometimes it can be like 20 revisions of a song. And
I don't mean like rewriting your own lyrics. I mean taking something from 1800.
Oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, if you do that, you just got to be sure you put the person's name there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I mean, we've definitely done that kind of stuff, but you just have to decide what kind of song you're writing. If you're going to write more of a contemporary song, you need to paraphrase, you know, those lines. If you want to keep it hymn-like in language, then you can use the original words, change a few if it's meaningful, because some language is so archaic it doesn't mean the same thing as it used to. Stuff like, you just have to be wise in the way you do that, but a lot of people are doing that these days, sometimes to make the song better and sometimes not.
Right. Question here.
Yes, for the songs that you guys write, do you usually start with a melody and then add words, or do you usually have an object session where you start with words?
Exactly, everything. Just one of those things.
it's never the same for us.
And the songs that you all have written that have really taken off and rooted in the hearts of people, do they come from just something that you were just inspired by, or do they come from like hardcore writing sessions?
It's always both, I think. I think you have a much greater chance of writing something that's going to reach a broad amount of people, you know, if you have the skills behind you. I would say, yes, we must be inspired by the Holy Spirit, but being able to craft your song in a way, understanding language, understanding theology, understanding music, and putting all those things together, and having experience of doing that, means you're going to be more inspired and better able to write better songs that are going to reach people.
There was a hand back here. It's been up a number of times. How about right there?
How about the collaboration process? You guys collaborate. I know Sovereign Grace Church is doing that a lot. So
yes.
The process is going to tie up that.
Yeah, the collaboration process. Are you in the next seminar that we're doing? Okay.
Okay.
Well, Sovereign Grace has had retreats for their songwriters. It could be everything between a couple people sitting down and trying to write together right on the spur of the moment. Sometimes one guy or one girl might write something and then send it to somebody else. There have been times like, say, I've written something and I'll send it in, and maybe Steve and Vicky might say, well, you know, it's good except the lyrics and the verses aren't that great. And they might suggest a whole new verse. It works in all different kinds of ways, from sitting down doing it together to doing it by email to Skype.
Collaborating really can happen in a number of different ways. Like in the professional world, there are guys that are kind of starters. There are guys that are finishers. There are guys that are lyricists. There are guys, you know, that are kind of more groove starters and
title people.
So there's a number of ways to collaborate. I think part of collaborating is trying to determine maybe who has strengths and how to bring them together this way. For Vicky and I, it really has just been almost any way you can think of. Although we tend to like to come up with ideas alone, I tend to come up with better ideas when I'm just able almost to be more within myself, thinking about things and evaluating them, coming together and then trying to pick the best ones. Mm-hmm. Then sitting there together in the same room for 3 hours, just kind of doing it. Whereas other people, they love that. That's the best way they write, is sitting down with other people.
Working together, with, you know, we both have different ideas, and you're coming together, and maybe one of you has the lyrics, and one of you works with the music. You mentioned that sometimes there's a little bit of a conflict. How do you kind of work around, you know, she's got something that she thinks is great, and you just think it's just not going to work, or you hate the melody that you come up with for your lyrics, and you're in love with it.
Okay, when there's conflict and collaboration.
Yeah, I think our conflicts are more like, I'm not so sure that's the best word. Let's try this or that. I mean, we generally haven't had any of this,
no.
But I think what we want to do is write something that we both really like.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, if we can't settle on it, we give it more time and try to come up with something else. So if she suggests something maybe that I don't care for too much, I may say, yeah, let me think about it, and let's see if we can come up with some other ideas as well.
Right.
And then it may come back to that idea being the exact same thing, but it just took me maybe a week to get used to it. Or
maybe not. Sometimes,
maybe not.
You know, you come up with something a little bit different, and I go, wow, you know, I think after thinking about it, I like that a little better. I think it makes it the line stronger. It makes the word pop in that line that I want to be able to get across. So... And then, you know, if we just strike an impasse for some reason, it's like there's a lot of good ideas, but we just don't have a favorite. We'll go to Bob Coughlin or Mark or, you know, somebody else in our songwriting circle and say, what do you guys think of this? You know, is one or the other stronger? Do you have a better idea?
So like we have idea A, idea B, and C. What do you think?
Yeah, and sometimes it's not going to be any of them because we end up rewriting it all again. But I think not holding your ideas so closely, and a lot of the reason we hold on to our ideas so closely is because of pride. We think we're right, and you know, we're stupid. We're stupid creatures. We sin, and we just think we know it all, and we don't. We don't have all the answers, and we don't have all the creativity. We need each other to see clearly not only our own selves and our sin, but we need each other to hone our craft better. I am a better songwriter because I have Steve. I would not have been able to grow half as much as I have in my songwriting had I not had him to collaborate with all of these years. And I think he would say the same thing about me. We're better because we're together. And I think Sovereign Grace writers are constantly getting better all the time because we submit to one another and say, I don't have all the ideas. What do you think about this? Oh, I like your idea better. You know, and it just... It's a great blessing to be humble and let go of your ideas and see what God can do. You will always be blessed when you humble yourself and let others speak into your songs as well as your life.
Amen. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
You've been listening to a seminar which was given at our Worship God 2011 conference. It has been made available to you through Sovereign Grace Ministries. Sovereign Grace is primarily devoted to planting and caring for churches. We also hold conferences, train leaders, and publish books, music, and audio and video messages. For more information, visit www.sovereigngraceministries.org or call us at 301-330-7400.